Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Hello, beautiful people. Bishop Randy Dean here with you for another episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love can easily slide into the rabbit hole, into the cave of darkness of BS, which can be bait and switch, or whatever else you may think BS stands for. Whatever the case may be, it's not authentic. It doesn't have integrity. When we try to manipulate, control, manage, and manipulate people into our way of thinking, when we're trying to change the whole wide world, except I can't change me because I'm the only perfect one. Well, that's not love. That's shaming. That's managing somebody else's life at the exclusion of looking out for the love of our own heart. So we're here every Saturday and Sunday, 5:30 Saturday, 9:30 Sunday mornings, Central Standard Time, to talk to you and unpack the pilgrimage, the beauty, the marathon run of a life lived for love alone. Hans Urs von Balthasar, a mouthful of a name, Catholic theologian, said, "Love alone is credible." Somebody else that as an anonymous author wrote this quote, that the theologians say they know God, but we need to listen to the love of children, because real children and real love really knows who God is. And I don't mean children just in terms of 7, 8, 9-year-old kids. I'm talking about a heart of the child. Jesus said you had to become as a child to enter his kingdom, to maintain the childlike heart that has kept love alive for everyone at all times, all around them. So we're here to unpack this beautiful principle called love. I'm at 4 years plus now on this project, the Alive to Love, No BS Bishop, and I am so proud of this project. I'm proud of all of you who have come to give me a half an hour of your life and time. I'm proud of the effort that's gone into this, and the radio station WPCA Radio in Amory, Wisconsin, that has loaned me their studios so that this project can keep going forward and become, hopefully one day and very, very soon, a podcast and writings and book. I believe in the power of love. It is the one element that I truly, truly embrace that can change the wide world. But first, it has to change us individually. So to that end, when we gather here, we do a couple of things as a rehearsal for how to be people of love. And we gather at this little congregation of radio, and I invite you to say with me a creed. Not the Apostles' Creed, not the Nicene Creed, but a creed that I call Love's Creed. A creed I wrote many years ago as a New Year's resolution, but it came to stick. It held its ground inside of me and kept me grounded. So I want to read it to you in total, and then I'll go back and give it to you as a vow, like somebody would give to a husband and a wife at their wedding vows. So I'll give it to you in total first. Now, before I get too far down the road and I forget, if you'd like a copy of this, you can request that by writing me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's randydeanministries, all one word, all lowercase, @gmail. Be happy to send you a copy of it. So here we go. Let me give it to you in total and just soak the words and try to take a little more of a mental inventory as you go through. That's what we're going to talk about today, about maintaining a mental inventory moment by moment going through life for the power of love in us. All right, here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. That's love's creed. Now, let me go back and give it to you in short bursts, and you repeat after me so that it becomes integrated into your thoughts, integrated into your meditations. What we hear ourselves say is often part of our curriculum for how to live our life. So here it is in short bursts. Repeat after me, if you will, please. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I am not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. You know, as I'm saying that, and I hear myself in my headphones repeating this creed, it energizes me. It sparks something in me. I wrote it, and I've been saying it for a decade or more, and it still resonates somewhere down inside of my foundations of life. It still causes some little fire to light up inside of me and say, yeah, this is what life is about for me. And I hope it is for you, and I want it to be for you. And like I said a few moments ago, if you want a copy, just email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to send you a copy, because it's important to have something like this in our computer, our iPad, our phone, or a 3x5 card that's hanging on your mirror in the morning while you're shaving or putting on your makeup, or wherever it's convenient to see these words. And in the crush of life and in the crunch of relationship challenges, you can repeat it back to yourself when you're alone, to sort of put yourself back at center, to pull yourself away from the precipice of misery and negativity and hate. All of those things are part of life's challenges, isn't it? I like to tell people here routinely, I am not perfect at the practice of love. Not at all, but I am practicing love like a doctor is practicing medicine. They're not perfect. The doctor who says they've got it all figured out is lying to you. That's a fraud. That's a quack, is what we used to call those kind of doctors. But the doctor who will admit to you, I'm practicing medicine. I'm practicing how to lead my patients toward a better, more healthy life. Well, I'm here practicing love. As anybody who knows me at all knows, this is my practice. But in my practice, I am painfully aware I'm not perfect at it. I fail more times than I care to admit. But then I have to do my own personal inventory and make amends wherever and whenever I can. This whole mountain climb of love is just that. I've been told, I'm no mountain climber, but I've been told when you climb a mountain like Everest, you have to climb a bit and then rest a while. And in fact, somewhere I've read that mountain climbers routinely have to climb, say, a mile and a half, and then back up another, backwards, a quarter mile or a half a mile, and reacclimate themselves to the altitude that they're at, so that they don't get altitude sickness. That the mountain climb in the physical is a great parable for what I'm talking about with love. This is not a once for all, oh, okay, I said the love's creed, now I'm done. No, no. Every day is a brand new challenge in this run toward love. Recognize that your goal, your commitment, your pace, your pursuit of love is going to have to be managed with a careful inventory day by day of how you're carrying yourself forward. What I want to talk to you today is about the molecular structure of love within us, the atomic layers that we build up inside of us that create the possibility of love. And by the way, on the negative side, at the molecular level and at the atomic level, if we're building hate in there, even in small doses, in the smallest of all cells, in our thoughts and in our even our body, if hate and negativity is built into there, well, then it becomes an expression of our life. What you incubate inside will ultimately become your external reality around you. What you build for your own world inside, right? We talk about people who have a weird fantasy world. We say, what color is the sky in your world? Well, that may be towards some extremes, but even at a lesser place where we maintain some molecular, cellular ideas of hatred and negativity and rejection, when we create those layers in us, then they become expressions from us. Well, it's my hope. It's my desire. It's my passion. It's my purpose here to lead you toward a life that is lived for love alone, attending to all of those molecular structures inside of you, the atomic cellular decisions that you make day by day. Here's a statement of purpose for today. The divine beauty of love for everyone, everywhere, and at all times is how it immediately speaks to all of my theological fine print and philosophical fine print. Much like those terms of agreement we click when we're on the computer, but we rarely, if ever, read. You know what I'm saying, right? When you're having to download a new program or you're having to update a program in your computer, it'll say, have you read the terms of agreement? And then you look at a whole page of fine print and you think, gosh, if I don't click this, I don't get the program. I don't get the app for my phone. I don't get to get what I'm looking for if I don't click, I've read the terms of agreement. And the problem is we rarely, if ever, read them. And so it is with love. But love is speaking to all of our fine print inside, all of our theological fine print, all of our philosophical fine print, all of our view of the world around us fine print. It's the carrier of how we behave, how we assert ourselves in this challenging world. So what I'm after is a love beyond my understanding and even without my explicit permission, a love greater than my own will, but a love that I'm aimed at because I believe God is love and love is God. So since God is undefinable, is beyond, wildly beyond my ability to fully comprehend on any given day, any given week, any given month or year, God's enormity challenges all my understanding without my explicit permission. I don't get to say, well, wait a minute, God, I need you to be smaller and more understandable. That doesn't work that way. And so it is with love. I don't get to say, well, love has to be so much less of this or that and so much more of what I can grasp and define. No, no, no. I'm reaching and I'm inviting you to reach for a love beyond your understanding and without our explicit permission. A love that has no exclusions, none, for anybody, anywhere. A love that is quietly and yet unrelentingly putting a demand on my own hope, my patience, my kindness, my forgiveness, my peace, my meekness, and my inclusiveness. But no matter what, our faint-hearted whataboutisms are recoiling against, we're reaching for a love. We're reaching for a love that is beyond the ordinary, beyond my whataboutisms. You know what that is, right? We always have these exclusions. Well, yeah, well, what about? And then fill in the blank with some evil person or some person we've chosen to hate because, after all, in our mind, they deserve our hate. They deserve our rejection. They deserve our judgment. That's whataboutisms. Being able to throw away all of our whataboutisms and talk about reaching for a love that is a beautiful love, a magnificent, a towering, universe-sized love for everyone, everywhere, and at all times. That's what I mean about the molecular structure, our cellular, atomic structure of life. Having that kind of love building into us at that level, ooh-wee, that changes everything, doesn't it? It arrests me when I'm sitting in my car alone. You know, that's kind of an easy illustration for me because I've done a fair amount of that, as all of you have. You're in your car alone, and maybe you're listening to the radio or a podcast, and you suddenly come across some person or idea that is so repulsive, so repugnant, and you just, maybe you turn the radio off, or after you've heard a news report or listened to a podcast, and you've just got nothing but the quiet of your car and your drive, wherever it is you're heading, and you start to contemplate the misery index, the sense that, surely this is a person that does not deserve love. Surely this person can be hated by me, even in small incremental ways. To consider them as less than deserving of God's love or my love or just my love. Maybe God loves them, but I don't. I'm not interested. Here's the problem. The Bible says, when I say I love God, but I hate my brother or sister, I'm a liar, and the truth is not in me. That's in 1 John. That is so hard, isn't it? If I say I love God, but I have allowed for the molecular, cellular level of hate inside of me, well, somewhere inside of me, I'm lying. I know my life has been a constant uphill climb in this matter. I didn't grow up in a fully functional family. I did not grow up in a family that really understood hardcore, healthy values. I'm trying to be as nice as I know how. But I grew up in an atmosphere where the dysfunction and the drug abuse, the mental health issues were legion. It was painful. And so through my life, after I got out on my own as an adult and I kind of, you know, I had kind of had the Dorothy and Wizard of Oz notion, clicking my heels, go back to Kansas. Well, there was no Kansas in my life, but I was clicking my heels, hoping to find a sweetheart Kansas that I could just finally be in my 20s as a young adult and grow up, you know, just be a full-grown adult and make my own decisions and be as happy as I want to be without having to attend to any of my inner world. And that's the key of what I'm talking about today, our inner world, that inner place of contemplation where we spend most of our life. I've often told people, as a pastor, when I hear people say, oh, I talk to God more than I talk to people, I have to say, with respect, I disagree with that, because you are talking to yourself more than you talk to God or anybody else. We're having an ongoing internal dialogue every day of every week, of every month, of every year, of every decade of our life. We are talking to ourselves, and our inner dialogue, our inner conversation, our inside world is what I'm talking about when I say at the atomic level, at the molecular, cellular level, where we're building at the smallest places of our living something other than love. I'm inviting you to join me in at least a reach to build love into your cellular life, to build love into your contemplation of how the world looks, to build love into your eyesight, your meditation, the moments when pain, and I mean emotional pain, is trying to haul you down into a dark, dark place of hurt and pain and victimization. As I said, in my own life growing up, the notion that you could have hope, the notion that you could rise above some of the stuff that was happening around me was absurd. No, I didn't always say it out loud, But inside of me, I had the idea that this is as good as it gets. I can't rise beyond this. This is what life is about. And then I had to discover going forward in my life that no, it wasn't what life was about. And all my hopeless, cynical contemplations internally were not true. Well, that's the starting place. It's not the finishing line. The starting place there is for the start of love. To first of all, learn to love myself. To receive me as me without any alterations or need to make me better for me. To be a better person for me that I can love before I can love me. Jesus said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So if I'm not loving me clearly, if I'm not loving me, at the cellular, molecular level, if I'm not just saying being happy with yourself, that'd be a good start, but how about loving yourself? How about looking inside and seeing seeing the little boy who was struggling through his formative years and loving that little boy? There are some cognitive therapy groups that do a good job of helping patients, helping a client be at peace, be quiet, sit in a room with a good professional counselor, and have that counselor talk you through the moments in life that shaped you to be the person you are. And to go back to some of those crises, some of those terrible disasters, go back there in your memory and put love there and ask yourself, how would love change this moment? How would love change me if love could go there to create for me a better outcome in that moment? So see, now I would recommend that you find a counselor if you don't have one. I'd recommend somebody. And if you wanted to write me at randydeanministries@gmail.com, I could send you a referral list of good counselors that are available. But my point here is, whether you do it with a counselor leading you or if you can by yourself, to walk yourself through those brief moments in life, those moments of whether they're deep sadness or simple sadnesses, where hate or pain or rejection set in, where bullies in a playground or bullies in a family, bullies in your external or your extended family, set up ideas about you that were false, painful, and insulting. To be able to address that with love, to speak to your inner child, that I always refer to, there's a 12-year-old boy alive on the inside of me. And I want that 12-year-old little boy to hear some things that maybe he didn't hear as often as he should have when I really was 12. I want that young lad when he was 4 or 5 to know that love is without condition, that you're built beautifully and significantly for a wonderful purpose, and there's no need for you to reject yourself at any level, no matter what somebody says or whatever impressions you're picking up from the misery or the hate index or whatever the rejection index is going on around you. To love yourself, being able to say love's creed, looking in a mirror, giving yourself eye contact. We're going to do that in a moment. And saying love's creed every day to replace at the molecular level, at the cellular level, all the pain was something as beautiful and majestic and recreating as love can be in you, for you, and then for the wide world around you. All right, well, I've got to bring this plane in for a landing so that we can conclude with some of the practices we do here. I don't want to rush them at all, especially today. I want to make sure that you practice something that is healthy for your mind and body, and that is to breathe well, to slow your breathing down. A few weeks ago, I referred to a 4x4x4 breathing technique that I just came across, and I think it's worthy of doing. So it's taking in a good breath to the count of 4, holding it to the count of 4, and then exhaling it to the count of 4. That's a means of slowing your breath down. Here we go. Inhale to the count of four. One, two, three, four. Hold it. One, two, three, four. Exhale. One, two, three, four. Whew. It's kind of hard to do, but it's a worthy exercise. I challenge you to give that a practice day by day. Along the way, when life is stressful, or just when you have a moment to pay attention to some self-care. Second thing we do here, and this is something I dearly love doing, and it is to challenge you to, with full intention, clear-mindedness, look somebody in the eye and say the three most holy, magical, charmed words in the human language. I love you. When we do that, we've first given ourselves the favor of being involved in a worthy project. As simple as it is a project of deep worth. And secondly, it gives deep worth to somebody hearing us when we fully engage the moment and say, I love you. So beautiful, isn't it? It's like music to my ears. And I know it's a little startling. It's perhaps a little awkward or weird, but go ahead, make it weird. You'll get to a point where it doesn't seem so weird anymore. But do it with full engagement at the molecular level. Make sure your life is about love alone. As much as you know how, day by day, with every moment and every day, to build into your thinking, to build into your structural life, to build into your habits, to build into your meditations, to build into your prayers, build into your relationships. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Thank you so much for being here today and trusting me with a half an hour of your life and time. It is my pleasure. It is an honor for me to reach out through this means and speak into your life on some level a purpose that is higher than any other purpose in this world, and that is the purpose of love. Now go out there and do something beautiful, because, oh baby, this world is doing ugly clear to death. It's time for the people of love to arise and shine and let the beauty of love take its place as it should in our wide world. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.